Hi, how's it going? 7:15 here on a sort of mixed precipitation, mixed bag kind of weather morning. Got some rain, potentially a little bit of freezing rain, depending on where you are. Temperature hovering right in and around zero. Eventually, it will rise enough where we're going to just get plain old rain for most of the day. Going to taper off this afternoon. But watch your walk today in particular. Mentioned in the first hour, one of our coworkers met her on the way in today, and she had fallen. She walks to work, lives in the market, fallen twice.
Yeah, you walked. You were walking away in fear.
He actually walked over.
Stepped over.
And then realized when he got to the building, oh, man.
We worked together.
Are you okay?
You work here?
There was wasn't quite that bad, but again, to my point, if I had realized it was one of my... I did see the person who fall. I saw them get back up, and I thought to myself, okay, it's all good. They're fine. They're walking again. Then as I looked back, as I got into the building, walked through the parking lot, the same person was following me, and then I realized it's Janelle from the Move 100 Morning
that's
Show.
That's who you were running away from, scared for your life
that's,
from the garage.
Well, there are some interesting characters here in the market in the early morning hours, as we all know. But to my point, I checked with her as she walked in, and she said she was fine. But that was the second time that she had fallen on her walk into work today. So
that's no fun.
No, it's not. No, she said that one was a tailbone. She had a big kind of a backpack. She said that saved me on the first one.
It's
she
too
fell
bad
onto
there
her
wasn't,
backpack.
There wasn't somebody to help her up. When she fell the second
I was at least 20 meters.
Well, you got to hustle.
Around the corner. She was already back up by the time I realized the thump was.
I want a reenactment hammer, and we'll measure it out. This 20-meter stuff.
I was well into our parking lot, and she fell in front of what used to be the Starbucks, which is now the Almont Outpost, which I have no idea why they...
I ate 20 meters.
Anyway, all that to say.
We need a pass to get into this building. JR was pulling the door shut to keep himself safe.
Yeah.
Watch your walk today. I'm going to leave it at that. All right. Things will improve, though, as the day goes on. Sens in Tampa tonight. It's a 7 o'clock face-off. We'll be live from the rink beginning within the box after 10 o'clock this morning. I guess the big question for everybody is going to be, who's going to play goal tonight? If I'm going to guess, so DJ, they're going to skate this morning.
Yeah.
We may get blank is in the starter's end.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll really try to play it up by having, because I think in the last, or on, was it Monday, where they had both the goalies, both Sogard and, at that point, Ferguson had just been called up.
Yeah.
Both of them kind of shared this starter's net, so we didn't really know. And then, well, lo and behold, it was actually Ferguson who started the game. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll do the same shenanigans this time, because we know DJ doesn't like to reveal the name of the starting goalie until we see them skate out for the pregame skate.
Yeah, so. Which is always a bit strange, but whatever you want to do. And to that, there is no doubt in my mind, if he's completely healthy or, you know, feeling great after Monday night, that Ferguson would start JR. But the curiosity would be for not even being able to back up Tuesday night, and where is your energy level at? Now, I know there's confidence, obviously, that Mandalese has gone down, but that's something you certainly would take into consideration, where I would have just said, hey, lock it in, Ferguson's playing, but I'm going to go about 50-50 right now.
Okay, so not locking it in.
No, 50-50. I'm not, because as I said, if you were that sick, to understand how drained you'd be and where your energy levels would end up being at, I don't know where if you could bring it back that quickly, but we'll see. We'll find out this morning, but as I said, at least he's able to back up or dress or whatever the heck's going on.
All right, so Mike Johnson will join us with his thoughts on the game, all things NHL, in 1 hour from now, and then at about 8:40 or so, Ottawa Mayor Mark Sutcliffe for an in-studio visit. And, of course, we want to talk to Mark, as he's going to be in the middle of it all starting next week when Commissioner Gary Bettman and Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly arrive in Ottawa. They're going to meet with Mark Sutcliffe at some point, and you know, and whether it's the full court, well, you know from Gary, you're going to get the, I'm clever, more clever than anyone else here, the very subtle but not subtle at all. You're going to have to be forking over some money, City of Ottawa, for this new rink whenever the new owners are announced.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get that from Gare.
Yeah.
Now, what's it going to be behind the scenes when he sits down with Mark Sutcliffe? Yeah. That will be interesting. So Mark will join us with his thoughts ahead of that meeting on Monday.
Well, and we'll see how Sutty reacts. But what is interesting from a Canadian perspective, JR, it certainly became very personal between, I don't know if it's still the mayor in Calgary, and Gary Bettman.
There's a new mayor now.
Yeah, but at that time, that was pretty much... did he not put his campaign on, I'm not giving any money, vote for me? Or If you don't like what I'm doing, vote me out of office. So
And he did win, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So now they're kind of underway again as far as negotiations on a new arena in Calgary. So they're kind of where Ottawa is a little bit, but it's a little bit is a little bit different as well.
Well, I actually met Tim at the I think it might have been the cow milking. I had a conversation with him. The former mayor of Calgary.
Oh, I see, yes.
And kind of a funny conversation. He said, my owner has lots of money but doesn't want to spend it. And then Jim Watson said to me, the owner of the Senators doesn't have any money. He wants us to spend it.
He actually said that.
Oh, yeah, did.
Nenshi was his name.
Yeah, yes. Pretty good guy.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark Sutcliffe will join us. He was asked about the whole arena project, public funding for it yesterday after the Ottawa City Council meeting, and was also asked about the city's role potentially in this new arena.
I think there's a role that the city can play in supporting an NHL arena, but I think it's too early to know what that would look like, and no requests have been made, and we don't know whether the new owners want to move to LeBreton Flats. We don't know whether the deal with LeBreton Flats will move forward, and we don't know what kinds of requests they might make. So we're ready to cooperate and collaborate, and I think there's a role for the city to play in facilitating. But we'll wait to see what the new owners have to say about all of it.
We're ready to cooperate and collaborate.
Yeah,
those are your two key words in all of that. So again, like a good politician, you want to keep all of your options open for as long as you can on all of this.
I didn't end up listening to it, but I thought Graham Richardson had tweeted out that he would be in favor of spending some public money on it. Was that also said in the? In the statement?
Well, hang on, let me get the exact quote.
Okay, because that was the headline grabber, and like I said, I didn't go any further. But I thought, hey. Because normally for a politician, you know, politics 101 is just an absolutely there will not be a single dollar of public money spent on this.
So is, again, the question was put on, you know, and I don't have the exact question that was asked.
Okay.
But it was something along the lines of, is the idea of putting public money into an arena for Ottawa on the table? And Mark Sutcliffe's answer is, quote, there isn't a table yet, and until there's a table, it's premature to have those kind of conversations. There's no question the city's budget is tight. There are lots of other priorities. So I'm not a fan of putting city money into an arena, but it depends on so many factors.
And I've always said that, JR. Like I said, I'm not looking for handouts. Last thing I'd want to see is people, hey, this is people that are spending a lot of money. But when there's a business deal to be done that makes your city better, and I keep going back to Washington, D.C., Abe Poland may have spent $190 million of his own money. And then you look at the benefit for the District of Columbia and everything that's come with it. Now, he owned a bunch of the land around it, so he benefited as well. But you look at this and say, hey, can we go together and work on a project that's going to benefit the city and generate more tax money, make the city better? You know, that's all I've ever said. This idea that you don't want any part of it, hey, you got to work together. And if this is an area or a way to make the city better, then, hey, get together and work out a deal.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's lots of people that kind of spoke up yesterday of I don't want a single tax dollar put toward it. And, you know, like we're going to see at some point in the next, whenever the new ownership there, Mark Sutcliffe with a big check, City of Ottawa on the top left corner, $500 million.
Like, meeting him at the airport.
Yeah, here's your big check. Yeah. Like, it's not going to happen that way.
No.
If there is to be any kind, it's going to be, like we have seen a lot, it's going to be some sort of public-private venture and a partnership.
Yeah, tax breaks, other things. That's the way you quietly go around it. It's the same thing that happened at Lansdowne. I mean, there's lots of stuff there that went in favor of trying to get that done. And when you look at the size of this possible project, and again, how much more traffic, and that's one of the problems with a football stadium, a multi-purpose stadium, depending on the Sens and whatever else is in there from a concert standpoint, you just quite simply, you know, not near other cities like New York, but the amount of traffic that drives is just night and day compared to a football stadium.
The option is still there, and it was brought up by Mark Sutcliffe and, you know, has been talked about as well, that, you know, whenever these new owners come in, the option is there for them to build an, if it doesn't work out at LeBreton or in some other piece of property downtown, for them just to build a new rink out in Kanata. That's where the, you know, when and if they buy the team, they own that, or they get that as part of the deal. That's their own land. That's said to be worth in the area of $100 million, that piece of land where the rink sits right now. If you wanted to, presumably you could, if you wanted to build a brand new rink, you could just build it on the existing parking lot, tear down the and when it's built, tear down the old rink, make that into a parking lot, maybe hopefully make it into a parking lot that people can get in and out of easier. That would really help. Yeah. But all that to say, it is a possibility. It is not outside the realm of possibility of the new rink, when and if there is one, that it could be built in Kanata. So that is our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. And that might remove some or a lot of that public money, right? Because right now we're talking about land that the new owner wouldn't own, i.e. LeBreton. That is land that they do own and would own, i.e. where the building is now. Our question is, how would you feel if the Sens' new rink was built in Kanata? Massively disappointed, massive disappointment, or not disappointed at all? Just give me, you know, new owners, that's the most important thing. New owners, well-funded, new rink, sign me up, and I'll deal with the rest of it. So massive disappointment, not disappointed at all. We didn't give you the creamy middle option, good listener, because of, yeah, I'd be kind of disappointed because we know that's what you would take because that's the way most people are. Yeah, that'd be a good Ottawa answer. Yeah, I'd be sort of disappointed, but not. All right, so massive disappointment, not disappointed at all. Simmer.
You know what? I don't even mind the drive. It's dealing with the arrogance of the people that live in Kanata that I just feel like I'd be massively disappointed. I'd be massively disappointed. I know what downtown building can do and what a difference it would make for the city itself. So downtown building all day long.
Okay, Hammer.
Well, because I'm used to it and I don't really find it too rough getting to, getting from. That's also kind of part of the hours I work. I'm there a little bit earlier. I'm there a little bit later. I wouldn't be disappointed at all. I'm just going to take it from a personal standpoint. I would think a rink downtown is going to be a bigger pain in the butt for me. So I don't want it.
The other part of it, just to think, because I think, and again, the results, I'm not surprised at the results, which right now are at 78%, massive disappointment, 22%, not disappointed at all. The other part of all of it is, I think part of the deal with that people don't like going out to drive out to Kanata, yeah, and part of it is because all it is for the most part, you're going to the game. I mean, you might stop in Centrum, go to a restaurant in Centrum, or there's some restaurants that are along Terry Fox Drive. Yeah. But for the most part, you're driving there, you're getting in your car afterward, you're waiting in the parking lot, and then you're driving home. There's not the entire experience. And I think quite obviously, if it's built downtown, I think what people, you know, what people are and have seen pretty much in every other city that has a downtown arena, part of what the allure of it is that, hey, you know, I go for a bite, you know, I get down there early, I go for a bite to eat, and then I walk to the arena. And then afterwards, if I got time or I want to, I walk out and I don't have to fight the traffic. I don't have to get in my car because it's a weeknight or whatever. I can actually go for a bite to eat and I can take the train and I get public transit if it works and all of that. So all that to say, if they build a new arena on the existing footprint, out in Kanata, but then because the infrastructure, as opposed to the way it was when this one was built in 1995, is actually there and kind of established, you could maybe build something that's maybe not quite as alluring as downtown, but you could build some stuff around it, is my point, that makes the entire experience of going to a game better than it is right now.
Yeah, for sure. Now, a few things, guys. The issue you end up running into that, JR, is it, and think about Marshy's situation. You're not driving any traffic there for that particular location any other time than the game. So the businesses try to survive, and that's one of the issues you have at TD Place. The other thing, guys, kind of bigger picture, I don't really care what the visiting players think, but the setup in Ottawa is probably the least favorite in the entire National Hockey League of staying out of the Brook Street Hotel, which is gorgeous, but in the middle of nowhere, nothing to do, the rink itself. And you don't have to, and I don't want to go the whole free agency route, but you look at downtown buildings and you're looking, again, first of all, the shaping of the city, the vision you would need to and should have for that, and just the perception of the franchise as you're moving forward, it would be a major kind of, you know, backdrop or just to stay in Kanata, bring this thing to LeBreton, redevelop it, reshape a beautiful city like that, and continue to, you know, have forward progress on changing the profile, because there just aren't, like, other than Raleigh, which really doesn't even have a downtown. Like, I can't really think of a team in the NHL that plays outside of downtown. You know, Calgary's a little bit of a different, but it's on the edge. Mm-hmm. But the suburbia building thing just doesn't work. It's not good on many levels. If you had to do it, so be it. Mm-hmm. But as you go through and think about the National Hockey League, it's just not the way it works. And I'm not just talking about the NHL, NBA. like almost every building is in the downtown core. It's not out in suburbia.
I agree. And I'm just trying to be devil's advocate.
No, I know. I
vote massively disappointed. And I live in Kanata. I'm one of those snobs from Kanata that Zimmer doesn't want to deal with.
Well, you don't want rinks. You don't want houses. You don't want anything in Kanata.
All I want is my blue sky, my fresh air, and I don't want a bunch of people around, okay? I don't want to see people.
I want my golf course.
I want my golf course. That's true. I don't want houses on my freaking golf course. Yeah. I want my green space and my golf course. That's all I want. So take the building and put it downtown. And I tell you what, all those houses you want to build on my golf course, put them on where the arena is right now. I'm fine.
And here's the other part. I guess it's, you know, again, you see Barrhaven grow a lot and you see Orleans and Kanata JR. But the reason Kanata exists, and I'm not saying that people won't want to move there because it's a beautiful area. But my, oh my, the draw was the CTC. I mean, now when you remove the Ottawa Senators from Kanata, you've established enough, you're fine. But it is different. I mean, a lot of people decided, hey, man, the West End and close to the Ottawa Centers and close to the CTC and everything else that was going on around there, you know, that will be a bit of a different element. Like I say, not a game changer, but Kanata will not be nearly as sexy. You'll still have your Costco, which is always busy, but you're not
high tech heaven in the North End.
That's true. Huh? Yeah.
Don't be putting out, hey?
No gas station there in Kanata, though. Like, what kind of Costco doesn't have a gas station? Barrhaven does.
You swear, it's hilarious. I come off the highway and I take that left and then that right. You would swear it's game time every day that you go to a game on a Saturday. The amount of cars that are turning in to go to Costco, wouldn't you think it was game day traffic?
It's everybody from west of Ottawa lives out in the rural areas.
Yeah, that's
driving
true.
In to do
oh,
it.
Yeah, and on a Saturday. I mean, the volume is just incredible.
How would you feel if the Sens' new rink was built in Kanata and not downtown? Massive disappointment, not disappointed at all. Let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. And again, Ottawa Mayor Mark Sutcliffe will join us for an in-studio visit coming up in a little over 1 hour from now. We'll take a break. Again, it's the Sens and the Lightning tonight from Canadian Tire Center. 7 o'clock face-off, 5 o'clock pregame show. We're live from the rink, beginning with In the Box, just after 10 this morning, right here on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200. When all the talk about Nick Paul earlier in the season, when he had, like, what did he have, like 15 goals, it seemed like, in the first half of the season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I knew it had been a little bit quieter only because people hadn't been talking about it like they were early in the season. I just looked at the Nick Paul game log as I heard our promo for Nick Paul. Of course, Nick Paul, Stanley Cup champion Nick Paul, and the Lightning are in town tonight.
Yeah.
Nick Paul's last goal was, by my very quick perusal here, I believe 17 games ago against the Anaheim Ducks, February the 21st.
So is he stuck on 17, Jer?
He is still on 17 goals, and the goal before that was back on January the 16th. So it's now March the 23rd, so we're talking about he's had one goal in the last 2 months, and he's played in, looks like, pretty much all of the games. Listen, 17 goals for a guy with everything that Nick Paul brings to the table. If you had to say to the Tampa Bay Lightning at the start of the year, you've signed this guy to a 7-year contract of $3 million per year, what kind of stats would you like him to have? Well, we'd be thrilled if he got between 15 and 20 goals, which is what he's going to get end up with. It's just that the fact that 16 of the 17 are going to have come in the first 40 games of the season, and at this point looks like about one are going to be in the last half of the season.
Yeah, and no doubt. And you look at that, and they certainly saw that here in Ottawa. Now, he didn't score a ton, but there were just flashes. He'd make a great play. But the other part is, when you look at the versatility, his ability to move to the middle of the ice, and then for a guy like Nick Paul, why did he sign him? He signed him because in the playoffs. And as a big body player and the versatility he has, history tells us, that's where guys like that actually make their money. So I am not disagreeing. Like, some shouldn't be that dry, but the way that he performed against Toronto last year was pretty close to the difference in the series. And that's why you put him on a long-term contract. And let's fast forward to another series against Toronto.
We'll see Nick Paul and the Lightning tonight. Again, 7 o'clock. Ottawa now has fallen with Pittsburgh's win over Colorado last night, back to 7 back of the final playoff spot held by the Penguins. And they are even in games played. 11 games to go in the season. So as our good friend, Mr. Six Bush Lights, says...
Six Bush Lights, six Bud Light, and I love them, tall boys.
You're going to need more of those as you do the math on the Sens playoff chances.
As you said, basically 4 more wins than Pittsburgh at this point with 11 games, so you're going to run out of track pretty quickly.
To my point, and lots of people weighing in on the rink, where the rink should be, but Triple D on my being 20 meters ahead of my coworker as she fell walking into work this morning and not turning around and helping because I was not aware she was a coworker, and she looked fine in my defense.
Where's your humanity for people, though? Why does it have to be a coworker?
Triple D writes, 20 meters is a lot. For Hammer's little steps, but it's not a lot for you, JR. Be better.
Why you gotta sideswipe me?
That's
here.
Triple D.
That's brutal.
Take me out, Triple D.
That's a good point by him. It would take you quite a while to cover that amount of space.
I don't even know what 20 meters. How many feet were you, JR? Like, what are you feeling in feet?
Because can't do the meters.
No, I can't do meters. I just want to feel like what you're feeling.
It's 100 meter. Yeah. Race at the Olympics. What you think of 20% of that?
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. I've got the and again, we could probably do some analysis after the show. Maybe even some drone footage.
Yeah,
I just don't. I don't believe the front of the Starbucks and you being inside the gate area.
And it's a big parking lot.
Okay, but I also much like kind of examining the Kennedy assassination. If you're that far into the parking lot, you wouldn't be able to see. What happened in front of the Starbucks?
No, I heard it. I didn't even know. I heard a thump.
But you saw the. But you also said you saw the person getting up. So
yes, and that's why I said, "Oh, I guess the person is fine," and then continued my walk, and then watched our coworker, as I came to learn, walk into the parking lot as well. Waited, held the door open, waited, and said, "Hey, are you okay?" It was Janelle, our coworker, who had fallen twice on her walk into work, but. Again, this is in my own defense. All right, I'm a good guy here. Do not paint me as a bad guy. I'm a good guy.
I think we got to find out what Janelle's side of the story is on Move and find out if she's complaining about my coworker JR not helping me out.
We'll meet with her alone, Hammer, and get that guy. Then we'll come back to JR's office.
All right, some texts on the rink location, etc. Unsigned writes, can't believe a new owner is paying $1 billion for the team just to leave it in Canada. That's from Unsigned. From Uncle Shikadance, I'm a season seat owner in Stittsville. I go to every game, and I think the rink should be downtown. If the Sens don't kick that off, then Ottawa will never will, because this city has no idea what fun is unless someone shows them. It's about the overall experience. It won't be just an arena. The city needs this big time. That's from Uncle Shikadance.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I also say this to JR, nobody wants to hear it, but I think that the deal and everything that's going to fall into place here is going to be extremely favorable for the new ownership, because I think everybody's on the same page and wants to get this done.
Unsigned writes, downtown arena means a complete reliance on the LRT. Since it doesn't work in the winter, I can only imagine the mess of needing 1,000 buses outside the rink to move 19 or 20,000 people. Well, the hope would be that the LRT would work, but history would tell you so far it's been a little
maybe
unreliable.
Maybe the white shed that they're building out there, they're going to do that all the way into town.
You know what? If they were to tell me right now they're going to tear down those ugly white sheds on the 417 beside Moody Drive and build the arena there on the horse farm, I might be okay.
Are you going to ask the mayor? Is that one of your questions? You're going to ask the mayor?
Good question.
Mr. Mayor, tear down those walls.
Those terrible white buildings. Yeah. I think anybody
historical
who's driven past
reference
them,
right there,
who doesn't live in Canada, who's driven out to a game or driven out to Canada for whatever reason, looks at that eyesore LRT, whatever they are, buildings. And says, let's be better. Let's be better. So I got other questions for the mayor. Potholes, let's get on it.
Yeah, that's
okay?
True, yeah.
What's with the ugly buildings?
Yeah.
How's it like to be mayor?
Yeah.
Oh, and let's talk about the arena. Okay. 30 years in Canada, every seat was sold when the Sens were competitive. That comes from Unsigned. There was a time when, to the point of when Ottawa was a really good team for a lot of years in a row, in which Hammer, you've been going to every game, producing every game for a lot of years, in which there was not, on very many nights, an empty seat in the entire building.
Packed and racked.
Yeah.
Winning teams.
You'd have to look at what the revenue was back in the day, though. And hey, the fact you're getting all the people there, it shows the support. Now you look at that, and that's for any market. Where do you set your ticket prices? And not that the building in the downtown. And then that'll also be the curiosity, JR, should they build the building anywhere? But certainly the LeBret and Fats. I wonder what size they'd end up going with. You know, there's also been a lot of talk of that, right? What is the
17?
17, yeah.
That's what I would go with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can't express this enough. You saw it with the Jays a few years ago, and you're seeing it right now. So to capitalize quick on a new rink would be smart. It's just the average age of the fan that's at the rink right now. And they are in the sweet spot here of, you've got my kid who's in his, early teens.
Season ticket holder.
Mr. Season ticket holder.
Yeah.
But then you've got the 20-somethings and the late 20s. This is the perfect time to capitalize on this group that they don't have anything to spend their money on except what they want to spend their money on. And if they want to spend it on sense, they will, because they don't have the responsibilities that, when you get a little older into your 30s and 40s that you have.
Please ask Sutcliffe how any type of subsidy, whether it's direct money or tax breaks or anything else, can be justified for a business that's about to be sold for $1 billion. That's from unsigned.
You do the tough questions, JR, and I'll do the simple ones.
If Ottawa wants a sold-out rink every night, having the arena downtown is key. That comes from unsigned. McCarts writes, I can move the arena wherever I want. I am the mayor of Albuquerque. Do I know the reference of that? Is that a movie reference?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, you lost me on that one.
Was that, I don't know. Is that the Alamo?
Dwight in Kanata. I've lived in Kanata since 1998. I haven't met anyone out here who thinks the arena wouldn't be better downtown. That's from Dwight in Kanata. I've also lived in Kanata since 1998, and I feel the same way, Dwight.
Yeah, and it was one of the funny things early on when the building was built, and I was with Washington, Toronto, JR. At that time, you loved coming to Ottawa, staying at the Westin Hotel. And then pretty quickly, everyone realized that, my gosh, by the time the bus went out for the morning skate, by the time it came back and you actually had your pregame meal, you had to turn around and get back out there, not to mention the traffic factor, right? And not that, like I said, the experience of the visiting players to me isn't the end of the world. But
some of them do stay downtown, by the way. Some teams, not many.
But a lot. And I think, remember Randy Carlisle was doing that. I think they skated out at Carleton or Ottawa U.
Ottawa U, usually.
And so if you can do that, there's ways around it. But as I said, it's very, very quiet in the winter staying out at the old Brook Street.
I think the Albuquerque reference might be to The Simpsons.
Okay.
When the Springfield Isotopes were being bought and moved to Albuquerque.
Oh, that is solid, Hammer.
Well, we're going to need that clip. Let's get her going. Oh, okay, back to the controversy of me not helping our coworker. Mike writes, JR, not even a courtesy, hey, you okay? Again, it was through the parking lot and around the car. I could barely even see her in the pitch black.
But how
I didn't even know it was her.
But how did you see her get up? I don't really, the whole story's not really coming together properly.
Because he needed to make sure he didn't need to call 911 because of an injured person outside.
Someone else said, can we get the other person on the air and see and hear her perspective? You know what? They're on the air, and we got some free time after 9, and I think they're done their show at 9.
Yeah.
I'll walk over. Yeah. I'll see if she's okay and find out if she's got a couple of minutes to spend.
And don't be trying to straighten out her story before she comes on the air.
Can you and I get together on this story?
She's probably left the office already because she's injured is what's happened here.
Again, it was a loud thump. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Man, that. Ooh, that's got to hurt. All right, 7:49. We're going to take a break. Again, Mike Johnson is joining us after 8. Mark Sutcliffe, the mayor, at around 8:40 or so this morning. When we come back, a little surprise guest for you. Little tiny guest. If you're kind of looking outside and you're going, oh, man, is this like winter's last kick at the can? I sure hope so. In freezing rain or whatever. I'm ready for spring. We're going to give you a touch of spring when we return. Right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Of the Sen season, 11 to go. We're all being honest about it. Long shot to make the playoffs, but you never know. But the hockey season could be over in terms of the NHL team in less than a month. What will the players who are going to remain in town, what are they going to be doing in the meantime? What many other people in Ottawa will be doing. They'll be turning their attention to the beautiful game of golf. And on a sort of wintry, kind of freezing, rainy kind of day, we need a little bit of ray of sunshine. Who else to bring on to give us the best news of the day than our good friend El Hamo, the host of Tee It Up, Kevin Hame? How you doing, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Everyone calls me just a little ray of sunshine. Absolutely.
What's going on today, Kevin, at 560 Hazeldine Road?
Yeah, I know. We're opening up at 12 noon today. We decided to kick down the weather. Someone has to go first, so we're kicking down the weather door and getting things kicked off. It's been one of our toughest seasons ever. We've been doing this for 34 years, but we plowed for 30 hours. Well, we didn't plow. We have giant snowblowers, right, for 30 hours this year. And we're ready to go. Mother Nature's still not helping us out, but we're ready to go.
All right. So you guys, you know, Kevin Hame Golf Center is always the you always try to be the first to open, and to do so, you usually have to bring in the giant snowblower to clear away all the snow. So in terms of, and I think you've had the same company do it for a number of years now. Have they said, hey, this is the most amount of snow we've had to move to get the range open?
I know it's the most expensive year, so I'll judge, yes.
Okay.
It's Cityscape. By the way, let me drop their names. The guys at Cityscape, a good friend of mine who always puts a foursome in my charity event for junior golf and everything. Good guys. So, yeah, they come out every year. They consider it kind of a fun thing to do, too. And took us 30 hours. It was 20 inches of snow, and it was pretty heavy. The good news for golfers, no ice down at the turf. As a matter of fact, one of the things that made it even more challenging this year, no frost in most of the areas. So the courses should be in great shape, because if you don't have layers of ice and you don't have a lot of ice against the grass, you know, the snow actually insulates the turf and keeps it okay. So
right.
should be a good condition year for golf in Ottawa this spring.
I know you got a special event tomorrow. How are you able to get Biden and Trudeau to come out, and who do you think will have the longer drive?
Put them on the simulator, Kev.
I'm charging them both double. Whoever shows up, they're getting charged double.
I'd like to see Joe Biden on the simulator. That would be good. So every year when you open, you know, and it's like it is a rite of passage and a rite of spring for everybody. Are people lined up outside the door when they find out you're going to open?
Well, even today we've got over 70 appointments for this afternoon. So there you go. Freezing rain and five. But if you look, you know, we just decided to go ahead and do it, guys, because if you look at the 2-week forecast, it doesn't get above 6 degrees. So if we keep waiting, this is one of the most stubborn, you know, summer or spring like warmth springs I can think of. Normally you get those, I call them car wash days or range days, you know, in March. You get 8 or 10 of them where it's 10 degrees and everybody's out and a couple of people driving out of a beer on a patio, you know. It we just feel like it's spring, and we really haven't had any this March, not one. So you know that, here's one for you, Johnny, because the Dutch Sevi, your nickname from when you and I went down and played Oak Hill last time, the PGA Championship was in Rochester.
Yes, Kevin.
The PGA, you were fantastic that day.
Thank you.
By the way, the PGA Championship starts in 58 days. Now look outside your window and tell me we're going to have a major in Rochester in less than 2 months. You know, it's crazy.
And more important, when is the media day for that? Because
exactly.
That's the reason we got to play it last time.
Yeah, fantastic. Anyway. Yeah. What a course.
Yeah,
that was
really
fun.
Nice.
Kevin, just thinking mentally, it's just great for people to get out and not only thinking about golf, but hey, it's a grind of a winter. Why not do something outside?
Yeah, I totally agree. This is a fun thing for us, too, you know, to try to be first every year. We've got, I sent a 30-second little video on Twitter yesterday. It's got 52,000 views, you know. So golfers really are, or Ottawans are crazy for golf. My brother, back when he ran the Eagle Creek Classic years ago, had a stat that, you know, 200,000 people in Ottawa play golf at least 5 times a year. So if you think it's under 1 million people, you know, it's one of the craziest golf cities anywhere. And this proves it every year. We'll have, God love those crazy golfers. We'll have them lined up, you know, by next week, as long as it's sunny in 3 or 4 or something like that.
Yeah. Now, as we let you go, there was a time when the pandemic was on, and listen, everybody had restrictions and how they had to do, how you had to, you know, do your business, where people had to, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, like book a time, can people just show up now, and as long as there's an open slot, get in, or do you advise, or do you still have a rule that people have to book ahead to hit some balls?
No rule, but I will tell you that we allow bookings up to 72 hours in advance, so it'll be probably fairly sold out. So you can take your chances, and you don't have to book, but I would say in the first few weeks of the season, it's always better to make an appointment.
All right, and they do that at kevinhame.com.
Oh, God love you, hey, Johnny.
At 560 Hazeldine Road in Kanata.
I guess you and Biden and Trudeau are all hitting balls for free this weekend, yeah?
Sounds like a plan, Kev.
All right, guys.
All right, congratulations. Always great news to hear you're going to open for the day. Noon today for the Kevin Hame Golf Center. Appreciate it, Kev. Good luck today.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thanks a million.
All right, there's Kevin Hame joining us this morning. All right, there you go. There's a ray of sunshine for
you. Absolutely, and they got the heaters, and they got the tracker, and they got everything out there. So mentally, hey, take a little break at lunch or head after work, whatever it ends up being. I just think for a lot of people, Jared, it'd even take them out. And, you know, the course aren't going to open for a long time. But, hey, get out for a little activity, a little fresh air.
To go back, well, you see a lot. Well, and it will be just given the amount of snow that Kevin just described. Yeah. I've got some pictures on my phone of of me playing golf. What was the, was it 2 years ago where we played and then Doug Ford shut everything down for a month?
Oh, absolutely.
And I was playing golf. I played golf, a round of golf on like the 8th of April, which is hard to believe. That's, what, 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, and
that
also.
That doesn't look like we're going to be playing golf in 2 weeks.
What was the one course? Was it just down towards the St. Lawrence? It stayed open, right? And then it began shut down? Or was that down towards London? Can't even recall now. There was one rogue golf course.
There's one down near Athens that always is the first open in the area. And Calabogie, they always send us a note saying, hey, we're open to play golf as well. Anyway, it's not that far away.
Yeah.
All right, just past 8 o'clock, we'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update. And then we're going to come back. Busy next hour. Mike Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider, and Ottawa Mayor Mark Sutcliffe on the new Sens ownership and arena. All coming up in hour 3 on this Sens Game Day Thursday on TSN 1200.